Good morning. I'd invite you to come in and take your seat. Psalm 122 says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Welcome to this worship service this morning. We are here in the house of the Lord. Just appreciating that last song of Holy, Holy, Holy that Kristen and Karen were playing. And that's a song, I mean, when I hear that song and I think about that song, I think about being face to face with Jesus and bowing down in front of him. In our Sunday school class this morning, we were talking about some of the challenges of reading scripture and have it be meaningful, or spending time in prayer and have it be meaningful. I just thought, I need to get a recording of that song. And before, at the beginning of every day, listen to that song, or maybe before I have my devotions help me, that'll help me be more focused. But I really, that's a great song, a meaningful song. So I'd like you to stand and greet those around you, and if you have an announcement to make, come forward and be prepared to make that.
Two announcements. The first announcement I have is that I wasn't in contact this week with the Pregnancy Care Center, and they are having their baby bottle boomerang this time of preparing for Thanksgiving. And I'm just going to just read a brief paragraph. I have the baby bottles up here, and during the children's story, when the kids come up, I'm hoping that when they go back to their seats that they'll each be able to grab a bottle and get some of them dispersed, but then the rest of them I will have back in the foyer area where there's a little box that says Pregnancy Care Center. But I just want to let you know that in addition to the counseling and pregnancy support that they provide, that they also provide maternity and baby clothing, baby furnishings, prenatal and parenting classes, post-abortion counseling, and hope to the women, men, and families who come to the center. So that's my first announcement. My second announcement is that I've also been asked to help organize the Bridging Cultures Thanksgiving this year. And so one of the things that I'm really seeking is a gravy making mentor. You may ask what that is. The two women who have been primarily responsible for making the gravy, one of them has recently had shoulder surgery and can't do the lifting and the stirring, but she will be there to guide whoever wants to do that. But I just really need someone who can step up and is willing to learn and be the muscle behind making the gravy. So if you would see me for that, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Good morning. So I want to draw your attention to the insert in your bulletin for the Jubilee Food Pantry's turkey drive. I don't know how many years we've been counting wrong, but we're actually 10th annual, not 9th annual, turkey drive. So we change it every year, and we go back to this insert and change it from 7th to 8th to 9th. One year we did 2 years in a row, so But we were counting it up, and this is actually our 10th year. So last year we gave 113 turkeys away out of our garage. And so again, a couple things I want to draw your attention to. One is note that this actually, the third Tuesday when we're open the first and third Tuesday of every month, the third Tuesday is actually not the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. So most of the time, that's when we're open. We're open that Tuesday before Thanksgiving. But for whatever reason, this year, the calendar, it falls on the week before Thanksgiving. So Tuesday the 19th is when we will be open. If you would like to donate a turkey, you can drop it by on Monday anytime, as long as it's frozen. And then on Tuesday, you can drop it by before 4 p.m. when we open. If you can. You can make other arrangements. All of our contact info is on there as far as phone numbers and email if you just can't make it before 4 p.m. And also, we are always requesting the kiddie pools to be able to put those turkeys in something and doesn't leak all over our garage. So if you're someone who is no longer swimming in your kiddie pool, let us know. Contact one of us. Talk to us after church and let us know. So thank you.
I'm going to draw your attention to another announcement in the bulletin about soup making. And the soup making will happen this Tuesday, November 5th, starting at 8:30 here at Zion. And you can come for a part of that time or all of that time, but it is for making more nutritious meals available for the ESL classes that are happening at Baker Prairie that many of you help out with. So if you're free that day, then please come on by and you can chop something or stir something.
This morning, Matthew is going to be talking about the necessity of mutual support and accountability within the body of believers. And as I was looking in the blue hymnal a few days ago, there's some readings in the worship resource section that speak about mutual support and accountability. And that's in the section about when you receive new members into church. And there's words that are included like as to bear each other's burdens, to assist in times of need, to share our gifts and possessions, to support each other in joy and sorrow. And I think Zion does a good job of showing support to those who are in need. One example is we've been helping to supply turkeys for many years. Another example was just a few weeks ago when Faye and Rick of Maranatha Ministries in Mexico asked Zion on just a short day's notice to donate infant clothing and blankets. And then after the worship service, more than $1,000 was given in cash to buy additional items. So Zion is a generous church, and I think we do well in that area. But there's some additional words in the worship resources that include to give and receive counsel, to offer and accept forgiveness, and in all things work for the common good. I think those things are much harder for us to do, and I look forward to hearing what Matthew has to say to us on that topic. Would you join me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of worship, and we do come here to worship you, Lord. And I'm thankful for these brothers and sisters that are here with me, and I just ask that you be with us this morning and that each person is able to take something from the service that will help them as they follow you in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Louise, would you come lead us?
Please turn to number 16 in the Sing the Journey, the green book. Number 16.
Thank you.
now please turn in the hymnal, the worship book, to 311. 311. And number 420.
Let it
Will the ushers come forward to take the offering, please? Let's pray. Jesus, we offer our gifts to you for the work of your kingdom. Amen. Will the children come forward for the children's story?
Good morning, everyone. Can I get a response back? I'm going to say it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I can almost hear you. I need some energy and enthusiasm for this lesson today. So let's see if I can hear someone. I say it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, that's better. Okay. Well, today, when we hear from the Bible, we're going to hear two different sentences really close together. One of them says, bear each other's burdens. In other words, help each other out with their problems. And then just a few words later, we'll hear, everyone must bear their own burdens. Now, isn't that kind of strange? First we hear, bear each other's burdens. Help each other with your problems, and everyone must bear their own burdens. How are we going to do that? Both of those things, and they sound totally opposite from each other. And then I happen to hear something in the sky above me. And I looked up, I heard honk, 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 and I looked up, and I saw a bird, and then another bird to his right, and a bird to his right, and a bird to his left, and a bird to his right, and this bird to his left. So that there are all these birds in a V-shaped pattern, one at the lead and the other's back, all going honk, 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 honk. So what do you think I was hearing? What do you think I was hearing?
Geese.
Geese, that's right. And I remember hearing people when I was about your age saying, if you had half the sense that God gave geese, you wouldn't. But you know, I want to show us that geese have some sense to them, and that they show us how we can bear each other's burdens and bear our own burden. So we're going to pretend like geese up here. So I invite you all to stand up, please. Show me what geese do while they're flying. Can you do something with your arms? Let's see. That's right. That's what geese do. Okay. Now, I'm going to give you some bigger wings. Hold on a second. Okay, you'll each get two of these and you'll hold them out and you'll flap them like this, okay? So I'll just pass them around and take two of them, one for each hand, please. That's it, that's the idea. Start whenever you want. Okay. Let's see. I'll have some of those and we'll pass them out to others too. Oh, you got them already. Good. So everybody gets two, one for each hand. Oh, okay. You got an extra one there. All right. There you go. There's one for you. Oh, you do? Well, let's see, make sure everybody has enough. Let's see. Does everybody have two? Oh, we don't. Okay. There you go. You've got two. And let's see. For Liesl? All right, let's give you two. You certainly may. Here's one. Okay, let's see you all flap your wings there. And you need another one, don't you? All right, and one for you. Here's another one. Oh, okay, no, here's one for you. So you should have two. Let's see you. That's right, that's fine. We don't need big ones, okay? Does everybody have wings who wants them? Okay, so are we all going to migrate like this all the way south to Texas or at least to the next grass field near Albany? Yeah, well, no, well, there's a slight problem. Okay, let's all stop waving our wings for a moment. Let's all stop waving. Okay, there's a slight problem. I see some of the wings bumping into each other, and you know, it's like you could get in each other's way and somebody's wing could hit another wing, or they could hit them in the nose or something like that. Well, let me show you how smart geese are, and this is why they form in the shape of a V.
Oh, I get it, so they don't bump.
That's one reason. You're a step. Okay, we're going to have you be the lead goose here. Okay, you'll be the lead goose heading south. All right, and then we need another goose here to her right and another goose here to the left, but behind a little bit. Okay, and then another goose back here, another goose here. Can we have you come over here, please? And then, oh, this person needs some wings too, don't they? Okay. Here you go. Here's some wings. You want one? Okay. And here's another one. One for each hand. Okay. Let's have you come back here. All right. Behind. How about right here? All right. And then how about, we'll pull you in a little bit so that nobody falls off the dais here. How about here? Okay. Do we have everybody lined up? All right. So now we have you kind of in a V pattern. Mia in the lead here, and then you back here, and the line gets further out, and would you like to join us? Okay. So now we're all heading south. Let's flap our wings. Are we bumping into each other?
No.
No, we aren't. And there's another thing that's happening, okay? Can you feel the breeze coming off your wings? Do you feel the air moving around you? Some of you do, some don't. Okay, you can stop flapping for a little bit. You know what happens when she flaps, the lead goose flaps her wings? That disturbs the air and makes it easier for this one to fly and this one to fly. And as this goose flaps his wings, that makes it easier for this one to fly and this one to fly and all the way back. Everybody behind the leader has an easier job flying and flapping their wings. But who do you think is flapping the hardest?
The leader.
The leader is, that's right. So we've got to encourage the leader, okay? And you know how you encourage the leader?
By flapping.
You by flapping, but also by honking. So let's hear you all honk to encourage the leader. Honk, 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 honk. Okay, now let's stop. There's one other problem. No matter how much you honk, this leader is getting really tired. And so you want to drift back to where it's easier to fly. So let's have you sort of drift back here. Come back a little further. Keep coming. And you can come to the back of the line because you need a break from breaking through.
The person behind me.
Exactly. Wow, very good. And then you come up to the front. So now let's all encourage him and flap our wings and fly, okay? I'm not hearing any honking. Okay, very good. All right, now you can stop honking. All right, very good. So, what did you learn from this? About geese. You learned about geese. So, if God gave us the sense that he gave geese, do you think we'd be fairly smart?
Yeah,
I think so too. We'd be helping each other out. And that's how we can each bear our own burdens, but help each other bear their burdens too, all right? Do you want to hold on to your wings, or do you want to return them? You can hold on to your wings, but don't flap them during the service, okay? Okay, you'll return them. Okay, anyone want to return their wings? Okay, well, hold on. We're not quite ready yet. I'd like to say a prayer, and then you can go back to your seats. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for these children, and thank you that we're all part of one family to help each other out, that you gave us a power to be responsible, but you also gave us the love to share our responsibilities too. And so may these children see that and share that. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats now. All right. Okay. All right. Oh, I knew I would forget something. Oh, good. You got it. Thank you.
For the scripture reading this morning, I'll be reading from Galatians 6, verses 1 to 5. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Matthew.
There is a sermon outline in the bulletin if you want to follow it along. Before I get any further, I need a volunteer to help me with a little juggling act. Anyone? What we're simply going to do is pass these balls back and forth. And I don't want to send them careening all throughout the sanctuary, especially not when I'm right next to the facilities and finance director. Got a volunteer here? Okay. Paul? Okay. All right. Very good. If you have felt like life is a juggling act, you're not alone. Let's try this. It seems like we barely manage to handle time for ourselves and time for other people, time for our hobbies and our favorite activities and, you know, trying to keep ourselves sane and in balance. Here we go again. Well, and our responsibilities to family and to work. And there's only so much time in a day, and there's only so much energy that I have, so thanks. So right away, I'll give you the three juggling acts that we often have in this life, the three juggling acts that are mentioned in today's scripture passage. When you hear, bear each other's burdens and everyone must bear their own burdens, you know, how did both of those sentences get so close to each other? So how do we juggle being responsible? how do we juggle being independently responsible for what we can do, plus being interdependent? Being interdependent, like you saw the geese being there, and independent. And then there's another one that he gives, and I'll write this down, accountability. Accountability to oneself, where Paul says, test yourselves. Don't compare yourselves to other people or boast about yourselves. Accountability to oneself, but then also accountability to others, because this passage begins with those very words. If a brother or sister of yours is overtaken in a sin, you who are spiritual, go to that one in order to restore him. And so that brings up the third juggling act that we find in this passage. And it's not the only ones, these are not the only ones in life, but and that is between assertiveness and gentleness. The assertiveness to be able to come to a brother and sister and say, I'm really concerned about what you've said here. I have known you to be someone who is so capable and responsible and trustworthy, so I'm having trouble connecting that with what I just heard you say or what you just did. But balancing or juggling that assertiveness with gentleness and humility, is there a one-size-fits-all for managing that? So from here on, I need to go with the text that I have. You know, as for that juggling act of interdependence and independence, it was caught so beautifully in the title of a book that I've talked with a few people here about, entitled, it's a book about family life. The title is, Mom and Dad, Get Out of My Life, But First Will You Take Me and Cheryl to the Mall. And then as for accountability to others and to oneself, as millions of teenagers, about, say, 16, 17 years old, have found, when they hit that point of sheer desperation with their parents, they say, Mom and Dad, you are so controlling. Why are you still trying to run my life and looking over my shoulder at everything that I do? Why can't you just leave me be and give me some freedom for a change instead of telling me what to do all the time? I've had it. I'm leaving home now, and you can't stop me. So, what are you going to do, Mom and Dad asked. I'll join the army. And of course, then the moment he or she gets off the bus, there's a drill instructor 3 inches from their face yelling obscenities at them and telling them exactly what to do and where to go. But at least that was their own decision, and they are no longer accountable to Mom and Dad. And then there's that juggling act I mentioned of assertiveness and gentleness. When we must come to a brother or a sister, and he says, do this in darkness, lest you also be tempted. And I can think of several temptations there. One is to do the same thing that you talk to them about, or emotionally and verbally to load up for bear and give them both barrels of condemnation, wrath, and rejection. Or there's the temptation again to just walk away and wash your hands. Or just as bad, to shrug your shoulders and say, well, maybe it doesn't make any difference. It's not so bad after all. Just different strokes for different folks. And these juggling acts are all the harder today because God made us for relationships and community. And yet he also made each one of us individually and loves us each individually as though we were the only person God had ever created. And yet, with this built-in need for relationship, there's even a greater epidemic of loneliness afflicting the world today. It seems like there are more people, of course, on the planet, and there are ever more ways to connect by digital media and social media, and there are more people suffering from loneliness and the symptoms of loneliness, such as depression and even suicide. And at the same time that we need these connections and relationships all the more, we live in a time of communities and organizations gone rogue. Communities that are falling apart or polarizing or that are enforcing fail easier, but then they also seem to be too big to succeed. I knew a number of people who worked for Cargill Corporation, and 10 years ago, Cargill went on a big buying spree and bought up companies all around the world and facilities, and it took them at least another 5 years to figure out what they had bought. The Christian denominations that are supposed to be the moral and spiritual barometers of the world, they're often caught up too, up to their ears in financial or sexual scandals. And please don't get me started on political parties and persons and institutions that are supposed to serve the country and to uphold the Constitution instead of expanding and perpetrating their own power. And that's an equal opportunity critique, by the way. So in such a world, are we to be interdependent or independent? Are we primarily accountable to ourselves or each other? And how can we be accountable to each other if we must first seriously, strenuously, always take account of ourselves before God? And if we are to be gentle, self-reflective, humble, and responsible for ourselves, none of us will ever get around to approaching someone else to discuss delicate matters. Are we to carry our own burdens or each other's? How did those pieces of the juggling act end up in just a few words next to each other? Well, back to that story. Mom and Dad, get out of my life. Paul was like mother and father to the Galatian Christians. He had brought them the gospel and he had planted their church. But Paul wrote this letter to them because they were in full-scale rebellion and reaction against the gospel that he had brought them. So how many parents and grandparents among us can identify with what he wrote in chapter 4 when he So whenever our own children or children we know, young or grown up, are going through tough phases of life or worse, they're making damaging and self-destructive choices that afflict and affect everyone else and not just themselves, and they're doing so in the name of their own freedom and dignity and responsibility, only to wind up bound and enslaved to bad things and their consequences, doesn't that hurt seeing that just as much as if we were in labor with them? The Galatian Christians might have thought that they were asserting their own freedom and dignity and responsibility when they ditched the gospel that Paul had brought them for another gospel, so-called. And that new gospel, which Paul called no gospel at all, obligated them to sort of a strange, selective, hocus-pocus mix of certain Hebrew civil and ceremonial laws like circumcision and the observances of certain holy days and seasons, in addition, of course, to Jesus, but as though Jesus were not enough. And Paul's language to the Galatians is the harshest and the hardest that he uses anywhere, precisely because he is fighting for their freedom and dignity and not against them. He says even, you are forfeiting God's grace. For their new gospel required more trust in their own goodness and faithfulness and in the goodness and faithfulness of their new teachers than in the goodness and faithfulness of God. And their rebellion against the gospel would lead then, Paul could see, to greater control by other peoples to the point of bondage to fear. The fear that they weren't doing enough, they weren't doing well enough to earn God's pleasure. And of course then bondage to the false teachers who were ready there to tell them just what more you need to do by way of the law to make God happy with you. The true freedom and dignity which the Bible and the gospel offers is not what the world usually defines as freedom and dignity. Often what I've grown up with in the world is that freedom and dignity are only about asserting our own will, our own desires and our wants, whatever they are, for whatever we want, without any control or criticism or cost or consequences. As if that were even possible on this planet. And that understanding of freedom makes bearing each other's burdens a vice, not a virtue, because it hinders our liberty fulfill our own wishes. That's the point of that T-shirt and bumper sticker that I've seen sometimes that says, "Excuse me, but are you confusing me for someone who actually cares?" Or the other one, "Talk to the hand." And that understanding of freedom and dignity puts everybody and their freedom and dignity and well-being against each other in this sort of zero-sum, winner-takes-all, dog-eat-dog, free-for-all fight to the death of the most powerful, the most persuasive, or the most manipulative win, and always at everyone else's expense. And it's kind of like what goes on so much in our culture and our politics today. It's kind of like what happens in Portland whenever the Patriot Prayer Group shows up and then the Antifa shows up, or vice versa. And that's like what Paul could see coming for the Galatian Christians. The true freedom and dignity and responsibility that the gospel offers us is, it's not a reward to be earned by dint of power and competition against other people. It doesn't come from waywardness or rebellion or resentment or reactivity. Biblical gospel freedom and dignity is simply the freedom to be and to do what God sees in us and what God wants for us and what God offers to us. And God sees us through the eyes of his love for Jesus, his son. And what God wants for us and offers us and sees in us is something infinitely greater than anything that our imaginations can hold before us. Such things as to be adopted as God's children, to be joint heirs of Christ with his resurrection glory and honor and nature, to be enthroned in God's heart with Christ, and more that I know my words don't even touch or even approach. All that is our true freedom and dignity. And all that is the work of God's Spirit in us already and among us, with us. And that's bringing me to the second question in the outline. So what does it mean to be spiritual, according to Galatians 6, verse 1? And all it simply has to do with the context. If you look back a few verses, you'll see where Paul is referring in chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, and if we can project them, about the fruit of the Spirit. And simply, the fruit of the Spirit, God's Spirit, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Okay, we can take that down. That's what being spiritual is. And exhibiting the fruit of the Holy Spirit's power and presence in character traits and qualities, that's what Paul means by being spiritual. When he says, "You who are spiritual or who are walking in the Spirit, restore the person who has been caught up in some sin." But he says, do so with gentleness. And gentleness is one of the fruits of the Spirit that he just mentioned. So those in whose lives we can see the fruit of the Spirit in joy, love, patience, gentleness, kindness, humility, they will be able to approach an erring brother or a wandering sister in the right way for the right reasons. That'll be their responsibility if they accept the counsel or not. But our gentleness and humility will tell others whether we're coming to them in respect of their true dignity and freedom and well-being, or whether we're coming simply to punish or to prove ourselves better or to keep people in control and conformity. And that's bringing us to the third question in the outline. How does being spiritual then help us juggle all these seemingly contradictory demands of life in the world, in the church, and even in this very passage? And these juggling acts of interdependence and independence, of assertiveness and gentleness, of accountability to oneself and to each other. One way I could say is, well, join the Stephen ministry, learn what they're learning in that, and you'll see how these opposite sounding traits actually enhance and serve each other. But I've got a bit more than that. You know, in the not-too-distant past, Mennonites sometimes elevated accountability to each other, to the group, way too far, I think, over the respect for the individual. And so we did that about all sorts of disputable things like clothing, your dress length, hair length, beards, ties, wedding rings, and more. But now it seems like in reaction to all that, we're afraid of anything that sounds or smells like accountability. And now our church, our culture and our churches sometimes go to the opposite extreme and elevate affirmation and the encouragement of our independence over any sense of accountability. And it doesn't work. Actually, neither extreme works. Kind of like the kids in the dime store novels who ran away from home to join the circus, hoping to become a famous trapeze artist with their name in lights, and 10 years later, they're still shoveling out the animal cages, waiting for a chance. So it's not a question of if we will be accountable to others, but to whom we will be accountable, and why, and how. Will it be to the social media mobs of the cultural left or right, or will it be with people in covenant relationship with us, people who have promised, like in the membership vows that Stan read early, to be in covenant relationship with us, who promise to give and to receive counsel because they have enough humility to know that I need the counsel as well as anyone else. Will it be with people who have earned our trust because their lives exhibit the fruit of God's Spirit, the first one of which is love? And since accountability is a given, we can't avoid it, we might as well get it right rather than rejecting it altogether, only to find ourselves in some other kind of terrible bondage. And as for bearing each other's burdens and bearing our own burdens, isn't it interesting that at that same young time of life when we start saying, "Mom and Dad, get out of my life," that's also the time of life that we start having major deep crushes and our peer group at school starts to take on life and death supreme significance for us? More so than even Mom and Dad? It's at the same time that we're wanting and learning to stand responsibly on our own two feet, that's also when we're learning and wanting to learn how to live responsibly in mutually beneficial relationships with others outside of the home. But it's a juggling act, and it's hard. I see the heartaches of people, especially young people, as they seek for understanding and support and community at school or on social media, sometimes just to get a terrible blowback of judgmentalism and rejection for their vulnerability. And again, contrast that with the Stephen ministries taking shape here, and the energy and the enthusiasm and the commitment that Pastor Jana bring to it. And I've always been encouraged and satisfied, as Stan has mentioned, by the strength and the nature of Zion's ministries of mutual aid and support, like from the elders, from some of our small groups, and Mennonite women. If someone is suffering from illness, bereavement, injury, heartache in their family, no one should have to face them alone. And nor should anyone face temptation or tribulation or any suffering, sorrow, or sickness alone. So how does being spiritual and these spiritual gifts help us juggle these things again? Well, there is one person among us who bears all the fruit of God's Spirit to the max, and who in his earthly life has juggled all the seemingly contradictory pairs of virtues, like independence and interdependence, like accountability and personal responsibility, and has done so perfectly. And that person among us and with us is Jesus, who shares his Holy Spirit with us. If we trust him, follow him, call on him, he will live in us and through us in such ways that we will look like him in the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and more. His kingdom, then, is a win-win relationship that harmonizes all these opposites that I've mentioned: assertiveness and gentleness, independence and interdependence, accountability for oneself, to oneself, and accountability to others. And then the world will see a community in which my dignity and freedom and your dignity and freedom can not only coexist, they're actually necessary to each other. They'll actually enable and increase each other. And then there will be the relationships and the community in which we are indeed free and empowered to bear each other's burdens of or to bear our own burdens of personal responsibility, even as we bear each other's burdens. Peace be with us.
In response, let's stand and sing number 362. 362.
Thank you for your message. This is our prayer share time. I know we have some visitors this morning.